Chapter 74, Subject, Deliverance of Shishupala. King Yudhishthira thus became very happy after hearing the description of Jarasandha episode and began to say as follows. The king said within quotation, "My dear Krishna, the eternal form of bliss and knowledge, all the exalted directors of the affairs of this material world, namely Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, King Indra, all of them are always anxious to receive orders from you and carry them out. And whenever they are fortunate enough to receive such orders, they immediately take such orders and keep them on their head. Krishna, you are unlimited, and so far we are concerned, we are very poor in heart, and for our paltry position, we sometimes think of ourselves as the royal order kings and rulers of this world. Under the circumstances, we are just fit for being punished by you. But the wonder is that instead of punishing us, you so kindly and mercifully accept our order and carry it out properly. We are all therefore very much surprised how your lordship can play the part of an ordinary human being, but we can understand it at the same time that these are all your play in the role of a dramatic artist. Your position is always, however, exalted exactly like the sun, who remains always in the same temperature either during his rising time or at his setting time. The difference of temperature of rising and setting of the sun is felt by us only, but the sun as it is remains always in the same temperature without any change. You are always transcendentally equipoised, thus you are neither happy or disturbed in any condition of material affairs. You are the supreme Brahma, personality of Godhead, without any distinction of relativities in the concept of your personal and impersonal features. My dear Madhava, you are never repeated by anyone. The material concept of distinction, that this is I, this is you, this is mine, this is yours, all these distinctions are conspicuous by their absence in you. Such distinctions are visible in the life of animals also. It is a fact also that those who are your pure devotees, they are also freed from such false distinctions. While they are absent in your devotees, how they can be possible in your person? Therefore, King Yudhishthira, after satisfying Krishna in that way, arranged for performing the Rahasya Jagga, and he invited all the qualified Brahmins and sages to take part in it, and appointed them in different position of priests and in charge of the sacrificial arena. Thus, he invited the most expert Brahmins and sages, whose names are as follows: Krishna Dvipayana Vyasdev, Bharadwaj, Sumantu, Gautam, Ashita, Vasishta, Chavan, Kanya, Maitreya, Kavas, Trita, Vishamitra, Bhamadev, Sumati, Jaimini, Krutu, Poila, Prasa, Garga, Vishampayan, Atharva, Kashyap, Dhumma, Parshuram, Shukracharya, Asuri, Pithihotra, Madhuchanda, Birsen, and Akrita Brahma. Besides all these Brahmins and sages, he invited such respectful old men like Dronacharya, Bhishma Pitaka, the grandfather Bhishma, Pitacharya, Dhritarashtra. He also invited all the sons of Dhritarashtra, headed by Duryodhana, and along with them, Vidura, the great devotee, was also invited in order to see the great sacrifice performed by King Yudhishthira for different kings from different parts of the world, along with their ministers and secretaries, were also invited and to observe the great ceremony. All the citizens comprising of learned Brahmins, Chivalrous Kshatriyas, well-to-do Vaishyas, and faithful Shudras, all of them in their respective position visited the ceremony. After this, the Brahmin priests and the sages were in charge of the sacrificial ceremony, constructed the sacrificial arena as usual with a plow of gold, and thus they initiated King Yudhishthira to become the performer of great sacrifice according to Vedic rituals. Long, long years ago, when Varun performed such sacrifice, all the utensils for the purpose of the sacrifice were made of gold. Similarly, in the case of King Yudhishthira also, all the utensils required for the sacrifice were made of gold. Being duly invited by the King Yudhishthira, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the different kings of the heavenly planet, like Indra, in order to participate in the great sacrifice performed by King Yudhishthira, all the exalted demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the king of heaven, Indra, accompanied by their associates, as well as the predominating deities of higher planetary system like Gandharva Loka, Siddha Loka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Nagaloka, Jakhaloka, Rakshasloka, Pakshiloka, Charanloka. All the big kings along with their queens all were present there, being invited by King Yudhishthira. All the respectable sages, kings and demigods who assembled there unanimously agreed that King Yudhishthira was quite competent to take the responsibility of performing Rajasya sacrifice. Nobody was in disagreement on this fact. All of them knew thoroughly the position of Lord King Yudhishthira because he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna. Or for him, there was nothing extraordinary. The learned Brahmins and priests caused the sacrifice performed by Maharaj Yudhishthira exactly in the same way as they were performed in bygone ages by the demigod Varuna. According to Vedic system, whenever there is arrangement for some sacrifice, the members participating in the sacrifice is offered the juice of soma plant. The juice of soma plant is a kind of life-giving beverage. So on the day of extracting the soma juice of King Yudhishthira, very much respectfully received the special priest who was engaged to check and detect any mistake in the formalities of sex sacrifice her paraphernalia. The idea is that the Vedic mantra should be enunciated perfectly by chanting in proper accent. And if the priests who are engaged in this business commit any mistake, the chaker or referee priest immediately corrects the procedure, and thus the ritualistic performances are perfectly executed. Unless they are perfectly executed, the result of sacrifice cannot be achieved. In this age of Kali, there is no such learned Brahmin or priest available. Therefore, all such sacrifices are forbidden. The only one sacrifice recommended in the Shastra is the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. Next verse. Another system is that in the assembly of such sacrifice and ceremony, the most exalted personality is first offered worship. So after all arrangements being fixed up, the next consideration was who should be worshipped first in that ceremony. This particular ceremony is called Agra Puja. Agra means first and Puja means worship. This Agra Puja is similar to election of the president. Now, in that assembly, all the members are very exalted. Everyone proposed somebody to elect someone as the perfect candidate for accepting Agra Puja. Others proposed someone else. In this way, when the matter remained undecided, at that time, Sahadev began to speak in favor of Lord Krishna. He said, within quotation, Lord Krishna, the best amongst the members of the Yadu dynasty and the protector of his devotees, is a most exalted personality in this assembly. Therefore, I think he should be offered the first worship honor without any objection. Undoubtedly, in this assembly, demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the king of heavenly planets, Indra, and many other exalted demigods are present. Still, nobody can be equal or greater than Krishna in terms of time, space, riches, strength, reputation, wisdom, renunciation, and in every respect. Anything which is considered as opulence is fully present in Krishna. As an individual soul is the basic principle of his growth of material body, similarly, Krishna is the super soul of this cosmic manifestation. All kinds of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, like performance of sacrifices, offering oblations in the fire, chanting the Vedic hymns, practicing the mystic yoga, all of them are meant for realizing Krishna. Either you follow the path of fruitive activities or the path of philosophical speculation, the ultimate destination is Krishna. Or all such bona fide methods of self-realization are meant for understanding Krishna. Ladies and gentlemen, it is superfluous to speak about Krishna, because every one of you exalted personalities know the Supreme Brahma, Lord Krishna, in whom there is no material differences between the body and the soul, between the energy and the energetic are between one part of the body with another. Everyone being part and parcel of Krishna, there is no qualitative difference between Krishna and all other living entities. Everything being emanation of Krishna's energies, like the material energy, the spiritual energy, are exactly like the heat and light of fire, and there is no difference in quality of heat and light with the fire. Similarly, Krishna can act anything he likes by any part of his body. We can execute a particular action with the help of a particular part of body, but in case of Krishna, he can act anything and everything by any part of his body. And because he is transcendental, body is full of knowledge and bliss. In eternity, he doesn't undergo the material six kinds of changes, like birth, existence, growth, production, dwindling, and vanishing. Without being forced by any external energy, he is the supreme cause of creation, maintenance, and dissolution of everything that be. By the grace of Krishna only, everyone is engaged in the practice of religiosity, development of economic condition, satisfaction of the senses, and ultimately achieving liberation from material bondage. All these four principles of progressive life can be executed by the mercy of Krishna only. He should therefore be offered the first worshipment of this great sacrifice without any disagreement, as by watering on the root, the watering of the branches, twigs, leaves and flowers are automatically done, or as supplying food in the stomach, the nutrition and metabolism of all parts of the body are automatically performed. Similarly, by offering the first worshipment to Krishna, everyone present in this meeting, including the great demigods, all will be satisfied. If anyone is charitably disposed, it will be very good for him if he gives in charity to Krishna only, who is the super soul of everyone, without any differentiation of individual personalities. Krishna being present as the super soul in every living being, if we can satisfy him, automatically every living being becomes satisfied. Quotation close, next paragraph. Sahadev was fortunate to know about the glories of Krishna. So, after describing the glories of Krishna in nutshell, he stopped speaking. After this deliverance of speech by Sahadev, all the members present in that great assembly of sacrifice applauded the speech of Sahadev, confirming continually by saying, within quote, "Everything that we have said is completely perfect. Everything that we have said is completely perfect." So King Yudhishthir, after hearing the confirmation of all present, especially of the Brahmins and learned sages, he worshipped Lord Krishna according to the regulatory principles of Vedic injunction. First of all, the king, Yudhishthir, along with his five brothers, family members, wives, children, relatives, ministers, all of them washed the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and every one of them sprinkled the washed water on their head. After this, Lord Krishna was offered various kinds of silk garments of yellow color and presented before him his shop, jewelry and ornaments for his use. At that time, King Yudhishthir was feeling so much ecstasy in honoring Krishna, who is his only lovable object, that because of tears gliding down from the eyes, he could not see very nicely Lord Krishna, although he wanted to do so. When Lord Krishna was thus being worshipped by King Yudhishthir, at that time all the members present in that assembly stood up with folded hands and began to chant, "Jai, Jai, Nama, Nama." When all of them joined together to offer their respectful obeisances to Krishna, there was showers of flowers from the sky. In that meeting, King Shishupal was also present, and he was about opposition to Krishna on account of so many reasons, especially because of Krishna's taking away Rukmini during the marriage ceremony. Therefore, so much honor to Krishna and glorification of his qualities could not be tolerated by him. Instead of being gladdened to hear the glories of the Lord, he became very angry. When everyone was offering respect to Krishna by standing up, Shishupal was sitting in his seat. But when he became angry after Krishna's honor, he stood up immediately from his seat and, raising his hand, he began to speak very strongly against Lord Krishna and was not at all afraid of Krishna. He was speaking in such a way that Lord Krishna could hear him very distinctly. He began to speak as follows, in quotation, "Ladies and gentlemen, I can appreciate now the statement of Vedas that after all, the time is a predominating factor. In spite of all contra-endeavors, the time element executes its own plan without deter. For example, one may try his best to live, but when the time for death comes, nobody can check it. I see here the influence of time so strong that in this assembly, although there are many stalwart personalities present, still they have been misled by the statement of a boy who has so much foolishly spoken about Krishna, and such statement accepted by the honored personalities present in this meeting. There are many learned sages and elderly persons here present, but still they have accepted the statement of a foolish boy. This means, by the influence of time, even the intelligence of such person can be misdirected. I fully agree with the respectable persons present here that they are competent enough to select the personality who can be first worshipped, but still I cannot agree with the statement of a boy like Sahadev who has spoken so high about Krishna, or that he is fit for accepting the first worship in the sacrifice. I can see that in this meeting there are many personalities who have undergone great austerities. They are highly learned and performed many penances, and by their knowledge and direction, they can deliver many persons suffering from the pangs of material existence. There are great rishis whose knowledge has no bound, as well as there are many persons, self-realized Brahmas also, and therefore I think anyone could have been selected for the first worshipment, because they are worshipable even by the great demigods, kings and emperors. I cannot understand how you could select this cowherd boy, Krishna, to be fit for accepting the first worshipment, leaving aside all these great personalities. I can think of Krishna as good as a crow, and how he can be fit for accepting the first worshipment in this great sacrifice. We could not ascertain as yet in which caste this Krishna belongs to, and what is his actual occupational duty within Bhagavad. Actually, Krishna does not belong to any caste, neither he has to perform any occupational duty. As it is stated in the Vedas, that the Supreme Lord has nothing to do as his prescribed duty. Whatever has to be done on his behalf, it is executed by his different energies. That is clear. Prabhupada continued to say, Krishna does not belong to any high family. He is so much extravagant that nobody knows his principles of religious life. It appears that he is outside the jurisdiction of all religious principles. He always acts independently without caring for the Vedic injunction and regulatory principles. Therefore, he is devoid of all qualities. Within bracket, Shishupal indirectly eulogizes Krishna that he is not within the jurisdiction of Vedic injunction, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he has no qualities, means Krishna has no material qualities. And because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he acts independently without caring for any convention of social and religious principles. Bracket clause. Shishupal continued to say, under these circumstances, how he can be fit to accept the first worshipment in the sacrifice? Shishupal continued to say, within quotation, Krishna is so foolish that he has left Mathura, which is inhabited by highly elevated persons following the Vedic culture, whereas he has taken shelter in the ocean, where there is not even the talks of Vedas, and instead of living openly, he has constructed a fort within the water, and is living in an atmosphere where there is no discussion of Vedic knowledge. And whenever he comes out of the fort, he simply harasses the citizens as much as the dacoits, the thieves, and the rogues do. Quotation close. Next one. Actually, Shishupal became crazy because of Krishna being elected as the supreme person in that meeting to be worshipped first. And he was talking so irresponsibly that it appeared that he lost all his auspicious chances of life. Shishupal, at that time, being overcast with misfortune, continued to talk about Krishna with more and more insulting words, and Lord Krishna was patiently hearing them without any protest. Lord Krishna remained silent without any provocation, as much as the lion does not care when a flock of jackals cry all together. Krishna did not reply even a single of his accusation, flurried by Shishupal. But all the members present in the meeting, except a few who were adherent to Shishupal, became very much agitated, because it is not the duty of any respectable person to tolerate blaspheming his God or his devotee. Some of them who thought it that they could not properly take action against Shishupal left in protest from the assembly, covering their ears with hands so that they may not anymore hear such false accusation. They left the meeting condemning the action of Shishupal. It is Vedic injunction that whenever there is blaspheming of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must leave that place immediately. If he does not do so, he becomes bereft of his pious activities and degraded to the lower condition of life. Next one. Now, all the kings present there belonging to the Kuru dynasty, Matsya dynasty, Kaikeya dynasty, and Shinja dynasties, all of them became very much angry and immediately took up their respective swords and shields just to kill Shishupal immediately. Shishupal was so much foolish that he did not even slightly agitated or worried, although all the kings present there were ready to kill him. He did not care to think of the pros and cons of such foolishly talking, and when he saw that all the kings were ready to kill him, instead of stopping, he also stood to fight with them and took up his sword and shield. When Lord Krishna saw that all of them were going to be engaged in fighting in that auspicious moment of Rajasya Yagya, he stopped them to do so by personal pacification, and out of his causeless mercy, he wanted to kill Shishupal himself. When Shishupal, however, was abusing the kings who tried to attack him, Lord Krishna took up his disc, which was as sharp as the blade of a razor, and immediately separated the head of Shishupal from his body. When Shishupal was thus killed, there was a great roaring and howling sound in the crowd of that assembly, and taking advantage of that upsurge, the few kings, supporters of Shishupal, very quickly left the assembly out of the fear of their lives. But despite all these things, fortunate Shishupal's spirit soul immediately merged into the body of Lord Krishna in the presence of all members, exactly like a burning material falls down on the surface of the globe. This incident of Shishupal's soul having merged into the transcendental body of Krishna reminds us of the story of Jay and Vijay, who were degraded to come down to the material world from Vaikuntha planet on account of their being cursed by the four Kumaras. For their return back again to the Vaikuntha world, it was arranged that both Jay and Vijay, for three but consecutively would act as the bitter enemies of the Lord, and thus they would again come back to the Vaikuntha world and serve the Lord as his associates. Although Shishupal acted as enemy of Krishna, he was not for a single moment out of Krishna consciousness. He was always absorbed in thought of Krishna by thinking of Krishna. And thus, first of all, he got the salvation of Sajujya Mukti merging into the existence of the Supreme, and then again reinstated in their original position of personal service. This fact is corroborated in the Bhagavad Gita that at the time of death, if one is absorbed in the thought of the Supreme Lord, he immediately enters in the kingdom of God after quitting this material body. After the salvation of Shishupal, King Yudhishthir rewarded all the members present in the sacrificial assembly. He sufficiently remunerated the priests and the learned sages engaged in the execution of the sacrifice. And after performing all this routine work, he took his bath at the end of the sacrifice. This bath is also technical. It is called Avamrita, Avamrita bath. That's why Lord Krishna thus successfully caused the performance of Rajasya Yagya planned by King Yudhishthir, and being requested by his cousin, brothers and relatives, he remained in Hastinapur for a few months more. After this, although King Yudhishthir and his brothers were not willing to leave Lord Krishna from Hastinapur, he arranged to take permission from the king to go back to Dwarka, and thus he returned home along with his queens and ministers. The story of falling down of giant Vijaya from the Vaikuntha planets to the material world is described in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This killing of Shishupal has direct link with that narration of Jaya Vijaya, but the most important instruction that we get from this incident is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being absolute, he can give salvation everyone, whether one acts as enemy or as friend. Therefore, it is our misconception that the Lord acts in relationship with someone as friend and with someone as enemy. He is becoming an enemy or friend. He is always on the absolute platform without any material distinction. That's right. When King Yudhishthir took his bath after the sacrifice and was standing in the midst of all the learned sages and Brahmins, he seemed exactly like the king of heaven and thus looked very much beautiful. King Yudhishthir sufficiently rewarded all the demigods who participated in the yagya, and all of them very satisfactorily left the place, eulogizing the king's activities as well as glorifying Lord Krishna. Next time, when Sukadev Goswami was narrating this incident of killing Shishupal by Krishna and describing the successful execution of Rajasya Yagya by Maharaj Yudhishthir, he pointed out also that in that successful termination of Yagya, there was only one person who was not happy at all. He was Duryodhana. Duryodhana by nature was very much envious because of his sinful life, and he appeared in the dynasty of the Kurus as a chronic disease personified for finishing the whole family. Next paragraph. Sukhdev Goswami assured Maharaj Parikshit that the pastimes of Lord Krishna in the matter of killing Shishupal, Jarasandha, and releasing the imprisoned kings, all of them are transcendental vibrations, and anyone who would hear such narration from authorized persons would be immediately freed from all sinful reactions of life. Next, thus ends the 74th chapter of Krishna in the matter of deliverance of Shishupala.